Good afternoon and welcome to the City View podcast. I'm Andy Sylvester, editor here at City AM. In a minute, I'll be joined by Jack Barnett, our economics and markets correspondent, to talk through GDP figures and a week of economic data, which will start to outline the picture that central bankers and policymakers will start to have to grapple with as we enter what is an almost unprecedented perfect storm of economic headwinds. First, though, the corporate news, and I'm going to start with some good news for once. Heathrow has marked the highest number of passengers since the start of COVID-19. Passengers in March bumped way ahead of where we were throughout the last 2 years. And the airport said there have been some 670 million UK terminal passengers in the period between January and March 2022. 280 million alone in March, and that's significantly higher than the year before. Heathrow CEO John Holland-Kay today saying it's fantastic to see the airport coming back to life after 2 years. Everyone at Heathrow is doing everything we can to make sure passengers get on the way as smoothly and safely as possible. And that good news for Heathrow coming on the back of London City Airport's record figures last month too. Now, Elon Musk, the man behind Tesla and SpaceX, has now turned down a spot on Twitter's board after being revealed as the platform's majority shareholder. New Twitter CEO Parag Agrawal confirmed this morning Elon has decided not to join our board. I believe this is for the best. Now, Musk was due to step onto the board on Saturday. However, instead of taking up his new post, the billionaire instead asked his 81 million followers, is Twitter dying, citing inactivity as his chief concern after last week voicing Twitter's stance on freedom of speech as his latest qualm with the platform. The eccentric entrepreneur nor Twitter showed no reason for the rejection of the position. Indeed, he posted a smirking emoji with no other comment. If this is all very tiring for you, I find it equally tiring. But nonetheless, it is a big company and interesting people. So there we go. Why don't we leave the corporate news there for now, because it's all about the economics today. Jack, bring you in now. GDP figures this morning painting, I think, probably what picture we expected to start being painted now as various sort of headwinds hit the economy. But nonetheless, nothing particularly cheering in the morning release.
No. So the headline growth figure slowed pretty markedly from 0.8% in January to 0.1% in February, mainly driven by lots of activity in the test and trace program and vaccination campaigns, just easing from that huge surge in activity that we had as a result of the Omicron variant. There was a bit of a bounce back in the services sector as people started to go back out to pubs and bars after restrictions were set aside, but that was more than offset by quite a sharp fall in activity in the construction sector. And that was actually driven by the fact that we had those three pretty nasty storms over the month. But I think the sort of wider macro points to say is that this looks to be the start of what most people were penciling as a quite a protracted period of sluggish growth for the UK economy, mainly driven by inflation being a lot higher than what we were expecting it to be 6 months or so ago. And that is going to result in people being more squeezed, people having less room to maintain spending unless they dip into those savings which they built up over the course of the pandemic. But as we know, it's not evenly distributed across the population. So I think what people were expecting is that we've got a severe cost of living squeeze, which is just going to hit people's living standards. They're then going to, in turn, cut their spending. And the economy is very heavily reliant on people spending money. And if that falls, then growth is likely going to be a lot weaker than we expected.
Yeah, which presents issues for Rishi Sunak as well. I mean, Rishi Sunak's got plenty of issues at the moment. Some of them fair, some of them perhaps a little more bizarre. But when that comes to public finances and creating growth, and obviously the tax revenues from growth. And later this week, we have more data, which will probably put all of the... It's sort of funny looking at GDP figures, isn't it? Because they are fundamentally backward looking. You're always guessing at how things were going. Not guessing how things are going, but you're sort of waiting for confirmation of how things are going. Well, obviously, most people in the markets, most people like us, are looking forward. Probably inflation, despite, again, being a bit backward-looking, probably going to give us more of a steer on what we might expect to see for the rest of the year. And we've got news both stateside tomorrow and then the UK on Wednesday.
Yeah, so we've got, obviously, on these shores, we've got fresh inflation figures out on Wednesday. I think the city is kind of penciling in about 6.7%. That'll be up from 6.2% in February. That'll be the highest rate since March 1992. Across the pond, most people were expecting it to top 8%. It was 7.9% before. that was the highest for four decades. So the narrative is pretty much the same across each of the economies. And as you were saying there, looking forward, inflation is not likely to stop at 6.7% in the UK. I mean, most people were expecting it to go even higher. Some people were expecting it to even top 10% in October. So that just speaks to the fact that this quite sharp cost of living squeeze is only going to get worse. Now, the other point to make is that Wednesday's inflation figures is not going to be good reading for the Bank of England. Obviously, they've been criticised for being quite slow for responding to inflation at the back end of last year when it started to take off. I think if, you know, if the figures come in at 6.7%, and as we've said many times before, most of the time inflation figures have surprised to the upside. So I imagine it'll probably be above 6.7%. That is going to send some of the wonks to the Bank of England quite jittery and probably reinforce calls for them to hike rates at the next meeting in May and to do more over this coming year as well.
Yeah, and I mean, we've talked at length about the dilemma that they're facing between choking off growth, such as it is, versus controlling inflation. But it seems like the mood in the city has very much moved towards people wanting the bank to take their one mandate seriously. It's always worth remembering they don't have a mandate for economic growth. They have a mandate to keep inflation at or around 2%. So we'll wait and see what happens there. There are also global headwinds, right? The return of COVID-19, well, in the UK, hasn't really made a huge amount of impact except at places like Heathrow, as we heard earlier. But in places which have not moved fast on the vaccination program, places like, frankly, China, still pursuing a zero COVID policy, we're starting to see those global headwinds increase again. You saw Chinese stocks beginning to be sold off this morning, which has followed sort of a week of people being quite nervous about it. That doesn't improve the picture for the global economic recovery, does it?
No, and it goes back to this narrative that we had, which dominated most of the second half of last year, where we had these severe supply chain shocks, mainly originating from China pursuing this zero COVID policy, which resulted in, you know, trade routes being gummed up and productivity levels at ports plummeting because people just had to shut or loads of people were off work. So it just led to a disruption in normal trade flows. Now, the point to make about how that will likely impact the UK economy is that what will likely happen is that goods that we import from China or Southeast Asia will probably increase in price, and that will widen our trade deficit, which is, you know, the figures today, this morning, are already showing that our trade deficit is widening as a result of higher energy prices. That tends to put downward pressure on the pound, which then actually results in even higher inflation because you have to spend more money to import goods. So again, it's just, you know, the headwinds that you're pointing to there feed back into this wider inflation narrative that we have running across the UK economy at the moment. It looks as if, remember that word transitory, going back to last year, it doesn't look like it's going to be transitory for the next year or so.
Yeah, no, that's certainly clear. Jack, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us. That's all from us at City View Podcast. It's a week where I think an awful lot of economic data will flow out of, you know, be it the ONS or the US authorities. And all of it will fundamentally point to the fact that we are entering a period of just extraordinary, almost historic economic confusion, really, is the only word I can think of. We can't really predict what's going to happen from here on out. Nobody had war in the Ukraine in February as part of their forward planning. So whatever happens, I think we know that life is still going to become a bit unpredictable for a while yet, and that leaves central bankers with a hell of a problem. That's all from us at City View Podcast. We're going to get back to putting together tomorrow's newspaper. As ever, we'll be back around this time tomorrow.